Good evening and welcome to the Stone Age Giver podcast for the week of October 16th, 2015. I'm Chris Randazzo and I am your host. Joining me tonight are living ice sculpture Dean DeFalco. And filling in for Dan Ryan is couch enthusiast Carlos Rivero.
What's going on, everybody? Pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. We've gathered together without specific purpose, but we have a vague one, so I think we'll be okay. What happens when you say cheese pizza in the text-to-voice function from Windows 95? Find out now. This is the Stone Age Game. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to episode 70 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast. Carlos missed being on episode 69 by one.
Oh, my God. I was so pissed. I went online today just to see what episode this was. I was like, man, these guys have been going at it for a while. And I just missed episode 69, and my sadness was deep, intensely deep.
While Dan is moving across the country or whatever, we decided to fill the hole with a special guest in his stead. So we've got, from the Between Two Beards and Tiger Driver 91 podcast, right here on Geekade.com, Mr. Carlos Rivero.
Yeah, I mean, you guys made a huge mistake. Of all the people you could have gotten on today's episode, you got me. But, I mean, I appreciate it.
I thought about grabbing Topher, but, you know.
I mean, he's a piece of shit. He also died in the last episode. But if you heard the recent episode, he is back.
Yes.
So, you know, we actually sacrificed poor little, our sweet boy, Kevin. Kevin Finnegan, the young boy over at Between Two Beards. He gave his life to bring back Cha. So,
worth it,
you know. Yeah, worth it. It's fine.
Anyway, we're going to talk about what games we've been playing, maybe a few bits of extra news if we have time. But before we get started, what have you been playing? Do you want to know why Dan moves around so much? Does he pack his beard in a separate container when he does move? Email us at mail@geekade.com and let us know what you think of the show, what you think of apple pie, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, etc. We always want to hear from you, the listener. But back to business. We had an elaborate game of rock, paper, scissors before the show to determine who would go first, and Carlos won. So, Carlos, talk to us about what kind of games you've been playing lately.
What the fuck just happened? When did any of this happen?
Yeah, no, that happened.
It happened. Prove it didn't.
I can't. Between you guys and this fucking dickhead cat, I don't know who's fucking shafting me more. Fuck off, cat! Jesus! I'm on the Stone Age Gamer. It's episode 70. Fuck. What have I been playing recently? I really am a huge fan. I just, you know, you said it before, the Tiger Driver 91 podcast. I'm a huge wrestling fan. And for some reason, I just can't stop playing WWE 2K. God, I think it's 14, I think. It came out 2013. And
then that was probably 14. Yeah, because it didn't say.
Right.
I don't think it said 2K on the 13 one. It was just WWE 13.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't even remember it. So,
but if you're confident we've got the 2K in the name, let's do that.
We're just gonna assume there's letters and numbers in the name to this game. And
I've been playing that. Just letters and numbers.
No, yeah, just those strange combination like the sequence from Lost. But it's I've been playing that a lot recently for some strange reason. I can't help it. And for some reason, I just there's a travesty. Goldust, not in the game. I'm trying to figure out what, you know, the developers and the guys that put together the roster for the game were doing when they didn't put Goldust in the game. So I had to go download a Goldust and make sure he won every single title.
Of course, like any self-respecting wrestling fan would want to do.
Yeah, and the only thing that really kind of just bummed me out was the fact that I can't really go in there and switch around his outfit to have the exact lingerie that he had on at WrestleMania when Roddy Piper ripped off his gold dust. What is it? Like a guard, his tunic? His unitard. Mm. And he had the lingerie underneath after he was assaulted by Roddy Piper at WrestleMania. I couldn't get the exact lingerie that I wanted, but I got it close enough of his alternate outfits.
Is there Stephen Amell DLC that you can find?
Not yet, but I think in the next game there might be Stephen Amell. There's going to be a Terminator.
Yeah, so. I saw that. Why the hell not, right?
Yeah, so Arnold Schwarzenegger will definitely beat the shit out of you and then probably, like, sleep with, like, your housekeeper or whatever he does.
Well, I mean, he's never wrestled a day in his life, but, I mean, why not put him in the Wrestling Hall of Fame?
I mean, I guess. I guess he just really likes Bruno Sammartino and he likes Hulk Hogan. So I guess, and, you know, superstar Billy Graham. So fuck it. We'll put him in the Hall of Fame. I mean, Pete Rose is in the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose is in the fucking Wrestling Hall of Fame. And all he did was get tombstoned by Kane twice. So there you go. I mean, the Hall of Fame is, the celebrity wing is a very respected wing.
Well, you know what? It's really living up to its name, in all honesty, because it is a hall and they are famous.
Very famous.
I mean, it makes sense to me.
Yeah. I'm with it completely. I mean, who else? Who else is in the celebrity wing? Drew Carey. Drew Carey.
Why?
Yeah.
Did Drew Carey do some wrestling stuff that I don't know about?
Apparently, he likes professional wrestling. I know he was in one of the Royal Rumbles. He was put in a Royal Rumble.
Of course,
because, you know, God knows, Kane needed the rub from Drew Carey. So Kane came out and was the one that scared Drew Carey into eliminating himself. I kind of wish he hit him with a chair, set him on fire, something like that. I wish that would have been how they got rid of Drew Carey. But, you know, Cleveland rocks, so fuck me, right?
Yeah, if they set him on fire, who would be hosting The Price is Right right now?
Bring back the fucking, I don't know, reanimate Bob Barker and bring his cadaver back on, like a marionette. Like, if you could just marionette Bob Barker, I would watch the fuck out of it. You know, my favorite part of not going to school when I was a kid was when you wake up and you watch The Price is Right. That's
it. Yeah.
No, that's true. Yep.
That's all there was. I mean, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have, like, the internet, even 28K, 56K to just, like, you know, watch really scrambly porn. No, we had Bob Barker. Bob Barker and The Price is Right was porn to me in junior high. Staying home and watching that. That's the pinnacle of the day. Nothing gets better.
Yeah, because everything after that was just, it was all downhill. Because
you'd finish
watching that shit, and then it'd be like, all right, now, like, Maury Povich is coming on, like, a few hours later.
I don't care who the father is. I don't.
I want to know how much the bubble yum costs. You know?
No, yeah, me too. Yeah.
Yeah, and Plinko was my shit.
Plinko hell yeah.
Was my shit. You know? But yeah, no, The Price is Right is not what I've been playing recently. So it was WWE 2K and Fire Pro Wrestling Returns on PS2, which is, you can download that on in the PlayStation Store now, which is awesome.
Now that game you can make literally anyone.
Oh, like, I have.
You can go crazy with that.
I have an absurd amount of characters in there. And they have, it's like these 2D little characters, and it's the most brutal game because they have light tubes, they have barbed wire bats, because Japanese motherfuckers have no chill.
They're crazy,
chill.
Man.
Yeah, like, you know, Japanese deathmatch, that's nothing to them. So you have these little 2D guys that are getting thrown out of the ring onto, like, exploding barbed wire boards, and it's the most adorable violence that you could ever see.
I know, that game looks like a Super Nintendo game on crack, but it's like, it was so much fun. When that game came out, I was managing a Game Crazy, and one of my staff members made all of us in Fire Pro Wrestling.
I respect the hell out of that person.
It was fantastic.
Was it Tony? No, it wasn't Tony, right? Did Tony work at Gate Crazy?
No. He was at a GameStop guy. I met Tony at the Hoboken GameStop. This was, jeez, I don't even think any of these people are associated with the website, but the guy that did it was Manny Cruz, and that's where we had Mauricio Alvarado. I don't know if you ever met him before, and another gentleman by the name of Louis Jarn. Great, great folks. One of the coolest staffs I ever had. But they banded together and made the Game Crazy Wrestling League, a couple of tag team teams where I was in a wrestling ring, and it was a pretty decent approximation of me at the time, all things considered.
I'm going to take a crack at creating the Geek Aid family in my Fire Pro Returns. I'm just going to make Dean, he's just going to wear a vest, nothing else, and I'm just
going
to cover him in scars, and he's going to come out holding a giant fluorescent light tube.
I would love that.
Done.
There's nothing more in life I would love, actually.
See what I'm saying? Done. All right, done.
Well, that was easy.
See? Come on.
I mean, I've always wanted to be a 2D character covered in scars wearing solely a vest. I mean, that's pretty much what I've always wanted.
You're living the dream. And besides that, man, I got nothing. Like I told you, I'm the worst person to pick for this. The worst.
Well, you said you had some stories about a specific game.
Yeah, you promised drunken WoW stories, and I want to hear.
Okay. Yeah. No. Okay. So one of my favorite stories, because when I was in college, I played so much WoW. I feel like all I did was like I was catching up with Lost. Like I came in late into watching Lost. I was like 3 or 4 seasons of Lost, and I would just like play Warcraft till about 3 a.m. Then I'd watch Lost from like 3 to like 7:30, and then I'd go to work at a really shitty job. So I would just be a zombie at work all day because I didn't want to fucking be there. And then college, I mean, who cares? And so
you hear that, kids? College, who cares?
Yeah, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Yeah, just watch Lost in the middle of the night and then play out of Warcraft and just get really, really angry. So I was out, as one does when they're in college, and I got fucking hammered drunk. Hammered drunk. And I got back home, and I don't know how I got back home. And I made it into the apartment, and that's all I remember. When I woke up, I was sitting at my computer chair, and I had no pants on, but I had my winter jacket on, and I was sitting down just hunched over on my computer chair, at my desk, just hanging out in Goldshire in World of Warcraft, just the main little starting area, just hanging out there. So apparently I got home, took my pants off, because obviously when you get home, fuck pants. I don't give a shit what anyone says. I get in my own goddamn house. I don't give a fuck if there's guests. I'm taking my pants off. That's on you if you come over and hang out in my house for more than 10 minutes. That's on you. I don't wear pants here. I took my pants off, and it was winter. So I just left my fucking jacket on, and I was like, I gotta go out. I gotta go see what's going on with my gold and my auctions. I gotta see if I won that weapon that I was trying to fucking bid on. And I just sat there, and I still lived with my mom at the time, and I'm just really psyched that my mom that morning didn't walk in to let me know what was going on, if there was breakfast ready. Because, dude, I'm sitting there, dick out, just winter jacket on, hand on mouse, just fucking drool down my face, and there's just people dancing in the middle of Goldshire, as you know, World of Warcraft, you can make your stupid character dance. I got fucking elves and gnomes dancing around me, so it just probably looked like I was legit cranking it out to World of Warcraft, but I have a strange fetish where I like to wear a winter coat while I crank it out to Warcraft, and
gotta keep the top half warm.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, the bottom half, there's shit going on down there. So, obviously, it's warm. It's very warm.
The access.
Yeah, so my up... And I can just imagine my upper half. And I was sweating because the heat was on. It's the fucking winter. So, I'm just red-faced. Just pouring sweat. Wearing this winter jacket, which wasn't small. And just naked from the waist down. I swear to God, my mother would have fucking died. After she beat the shit out of me, she would have died. And another time, I was playing the game, and I was obviously, you know, once again, I got home, and I was never going to check on my auctions. Okay. Thankfully, I took off my jacket this time. And I specifically remember somebody messaging me and being like, hey, like, you know, so what would you do for 5 gold? And I'm drunk. So I was like, you know, I'll do a little dance for you. I'm like, all right. What would you do for 10 gold? I was like, I mean, I'll look at it. I'm not necessarily, you know, I'm thinking this is all joking, right? You know what I mean? Like, this is a joke. Mm-hmm. And I'm drunk. And they're like, oh, okay, what would you do for like, you know, like a fucking 500 gold or whatever? And I'm at this time, like, I was restarting a character, so my level was low, and I was like, I was like, well, yeah, what do you want? They're like, would you let me look at yours? And I was like, sure. Like, why not? And this person, like, pretty much gave me their screen name to message them and to make this happen, and I was like, holy fuck, I am mere seconds away from World of Warcraft prostitution. The oldest.
Yeah, it's borderline.
Border just right there. And I was like, whoa. Whoa. I will message you in a second. I'll be right there. But, that's kind of like some. That's a taste of the darkness. That was me getting drunk playing World of Warcraft.
Wow.
I didn't message the guy that time. So don't think any less of me than you already do for being on the Between Two Beards podcast. It's darkness. Like I told you, the Between Two Beards podcast is the negative zone of geekaid.com, and now bringing a taste of that to your listeners.
Happy to have it.
Yeah, this is what happens over a Between Two Beards. Just utter darkness. Things that you just don't even really want to admit to people, but I just did on the Sony Gear podcast. So, yeah, it's darkness. It's darkness.
Yeah, it's a good time. It's a good time.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Does anybody else want to... I want to talk about the games they've been playing now that I just fucking...
No, I'm good. We can end the podcast. Yeah,
pretty much since... podcast over at this point.
Yeah, since shit got dark there, so...
Yeah, well, hey, it's good times.
Warcraft has pandas now, so play it, kids. It's good. Don't show a guy your dick on Warcraft. That's all I'm saying. No matter how much gold. No matter how much gold they have.
It's not worth it. It's not
your self-worth is way more important.
Oh, Christ. All right, well, I'll go next. I'll follow that.
Please, somebody.
Thank you. I'm glad I don't have to take that bullet.
This is not going to be anywhere near as entertaining, but I picked up, like I said I was going to do last week, I was super excited. I picked up Chibi-Robo Ziplash for the 3DS. I freaking love it. I love it to death. All right, first off, it came with an amiibo, so I couldn't not buy it. It came with this absolutely adorable, life-size Chibi-Robo amiibo that I'm staring at right now, and he's adorable. And, alright, so this game is like, if you ever played the Chibi-Robo games before, they are, like, insanely Japanese, as if you couldn't tell from the title, Chibi-Robo. So, you're this little tiny robot, and, like, the point of the game is to make other things happy and do chores, and somehow it's fun. Like, the first game was, like, actually really dark and screwed up when you paid attention to it, because it was about this family where the little girl is obsessed with frogs and wears a frog hat all the time, and her mom thinks she's crazy, and she's trying to talk her out of wearing the frog hat all the time, and the dad is this big fat loser who spends all their money and might have a gambling problem, likely has a drinking and or drug problem, and has to sleep on the couch, which upsets the daughter, which is why she's dressed like a frog the whole time. But you're a cute little robot that cleans stains with a toothbrush and tries to fix a marriage?
What the fuck is happening? What is happening right now? This is... I can see why you're following up Warcraft prostitution with this game, because that is fucking darkness.
Well, what led to this is the Warcraft prostitution.
That's the dad in that tale is you, Carlos.
Yeah,
in the future.
Seriously. The second my daughter buys a frog hat, I'm going to be like, I have fucked up as a parent. I have failed as a parent. This is my fault. I did this.
Dude's always wearing, like, boxer shorts around the house, too. Like, it's...
That's me right now! I don't even have a kid!
So Chibi-Robo is a look into your dystopian future.
Oh, man. Oh, well. Whatever. At least I got some dude cleaning floors, trying to fix my marriage, a little robot or whatnot. I got something going for me, right? I got a fucking mechanical indentured servant. Great. Awesome. A robot slave. Fantastic.
So that was the first Chibi-Robo game. The second one, which is the one that I played the most of, was on DS, and that was Park Patrol, where I don't remember how, but you're in charge of fixing a park, and they're like these weird black ink blob things all over the place, and you have to like pull out a boombox and dance with flowers. It's a really strange game, but it was really fun. The third one was called Photo Finder, and that one you were like... It takes place in the future, but you're helping to create a museum of things that existed in 2013. So you have to, like, go around and take pictures of, like, cans and shit, scan them into the game, and then make a museum. Haven't played a lot of that one. It's really weird. But the new Chibi-Robo, which is called Chibi-Robo Ziplash, is a 2D platformer. And it's got a lot, like, in common with Bionic Commando. So, like, Chibi-Robo is this little tiny robot dude, and he always has this plug hanging out the back of him. And in this game, he actually picks it up, swings it around, and kind of uses it as a weapon or a grappling hook. So you just kind of like, you know, you press the buttons and he swings it around and you can latch onto things and pull yourself up and swing back and forth. It's pretty straightforward as far as like just being a platformer. It's not overly complicated. It's, you know, the secrets aren't so well hidden that you're like scratching your head trying to figure out how to get to them, but they're just barely out of your way enough that you still feel pretty good when you get them. what else I was really surprised about with the game, because I had been seeing videos for it, was like, oh, they're making a Chibi Robo platformer. That sounds fantastic. But it actually does have a lot in common with the older Chibi Robo games, which I was pretty stoked about because, you know, I like those games. They're weird as hell, but I like the crap out of them. And you still do things like pick up litter and talk to your weird floating thing that follows you around and talks to you. You have a weird Chibi Robo spaceship. Let me back this up just a little bit, because the story in this game, for some reason, you're in space, and then aliens invade Earth by stealing all of the snacks, and so you go to Earth to stop the aliens from stealing snacks and clean up Earth. Because of drugs, I guess. I don't know.
Sure, yeah. I mean, let's go with drugs.
Yeah, why not? But it's like, it's all real snacks. Like, I played the first level, and I found a Tootsie Pop, and it was like a legit Tootsie Pop. And I was like, okay, I found some Pocky, which made me happy. Pocky's pretty tasty.
Delicious.
I found some weird Scandinavian snack on some stage. I don't know. It's cool. It's ludicrously fun. It's fairly easy, which is why it's getting torn up in the reviews. It's getting all these mediocre reviews, and I don't know. I think people are being too harsh on it, because I'm digging the fact that it's not insanely difficult. You know, not every platformer that Nintendo makes has to be like Super Mario Brothers. Like, it doesn't have to be Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze. I don't need to be so insanely challenged by something. Sometimes I want something to just relax to, and this game is great for that. I can play it before going to bed, and I'm not scratching my eyes out dying 100 times to finish a level. I can beat most of it on the first try and still feel pretty good about myself. Like, there's, you know, little pieces of challenge in there, like, you know, aiming your cord to hit, like, This is fantastic. I just did this morning. So I'm going. My biggest gripe about this game is this weird level select system where you beat a stage and then you have to spin like this roulette wheel that chooses how many spaces you move forward on the same loop. So you're occasionally forced to play the same level over and over again until you get the right numbers to beat the stages that you haven't gotten to yet. It's fucking asinine and it drives me bonkers. But I was forced to replay the first stage earlier today, and I kept finding these weird, like, stands, and they didn't tell you what they were for. This time, when I came back to the level, there was a little baby alien waiting outside, and I was like, oh, you should pick him up. He's got a plug on his chest. So I went to go press the button where Chibi Robo picks stuff up, and it didn't work. So I hit him with my cord, and it plugged into its chest, and now I've got this baby alien dangling from my cord. I'm like, okay, this is freaking weird. So I move forward, and my little helper TV guy is floating around and says, maybe we need to get their attention, because there's like a sign here that says this is like lost alien baby pickup zone. So I hold down the button, and I just start swinging the baby around over my head at the end of this cord, and it starts screaming while I'm swinging it around over my head, and then the ship shows up, and I then have to throw the baby at the ship. And if I miss, the baby's gone. Like, it just flies off the screen and dies. Like,
it's, oh, word. It's Chibi baby murderer. Fantastic.
But if you hit it, then the baby gets picked up by the spaceship and flies back home. So I guess the bottom line is Chibi Robo Ziplash is weird as shit, but I think it's really fun. I'm enjoying it quite a bit, and I'm like, super stoked to have it. Plus, my kid seems to really like the character. My kid's 2 years old. And he is like a friggin' spaz and a half. And he'll watch some things for a few minutes. Like the best I can do with him is like Fraggle Rock. He'll watch like maybe 10 minutes tops, and then he'll just get bored and wander away. Most things on screens, he's just like, he's not into. So I just took a shot in the dark, and I went to a YouTube video of somebody playing through the original Chibi Robo. Little dude was so into it for like an hour and change. Like, he was just totally zoned into it.
That's pretty awesome.
It's awesome. He just sits there and looks at the screen and goes, Chibi Robo. And he's, I'm so proud of him. So I got all these different amiibo, right? I said I got the Chibi Robo one. He can name Mario, Link, Samus, Donkey Kong, Kirby, Fox, Mega Man, Pit, and Chibi Robo. He can name all those characters.
But he can't count to 10.
But he can't count to 10. He can count to 4. Sometimes.
That's pretty good.
That's honestly,
not bad.
That's all you really need.
Yeah, really. Because once you get what's interesting past 4, really.
No. 4 players. That's it. That's
exactly.
Really
he knows the max.
He knows the max.
Little dude gets it.
So yeah, that was that's pretty much what I've been playing in the last week. Was Chibi-Robo Ziplash. I haven't messed with anything else. Although I just got the email today, I got download codes for the demo for Legend of Zelda Triforce Heroes, which I am very excited about.
I'm fucking buying that, man. I don't need a demo. They sold me on the video.
Yeah, I played through all of Four Swords, and Carlos, you know Richard Dressler.
Yeah, that big baby bitch.
I played through Four Swords Adventures with him, and he is evil.
I believe it.
He was the problem more often than not. That man is evil when it comes to Zelda. Yeah.
Dick Dressler is definitely an evil dick.
Indeed, he is. Jersey City GameStop. That's where I met him. I met a lot of people I know working in video game stores.
It sounds like it. Thankfully, I met you in a comic book store.
Indeed. And I met Lugo and all the Comic Book Fans United folks at the Union City Game Crazy.
I assume you met Lugo like as he was just naked in an alleyway, covered in his own vomit, just offering you gold to maybe just look at it for a minute. That's what I assume when it comes to Lugo.
Who has gold anymore? Exactly. Like, I'm impressed.
What
a lot of people have gold.
What makes you think Lugo has gold?
I don't know, man. It's fucking Lugo. I don't know. He looks like a Dominican version of Bishop from the X-Men. What do you want from him?
Oh, my God. That's the most flawless description I've ever heard.
Yeah. Like, he looks like Bishop, and Bishop really like eating platanos. That's what he looks like. That's Lugo. Shout out to Lugo.
Oh, glorious. All right, Dean, you're up. What have you been playing?
That was me putting down my phone because I'm about to get serious up in this bitch.
Oh, yes.
All right, so if anyone watched the stream that I did on Sunday, which I'm sure no one did because there was a total of, I think, 7 or 8 people watching me. Shout out to me for getting that many people, though.
That's pretty good, man. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if that many people listen to Between Two Beards, so that's pretty impressive.
You know what? I know that we're at, well, shout out to everyone on Geekade. We're at over a steady 1,000-something viewers, listeners every every month. No,
hey,
every week.
That's what's up.
Every
week. Every week? Oh, shit. Yeah, I didn't even know that.
Every week. Yeah,
that's
those
what's
are the
up.
Stats. So, yeah, fun stuff to know.
It's
okay,
also worth pointing out before you move forward that Dean was doing this stream to fill out the 31 days of Halloween. We have done something every day so far in October, and we're going to finish out the month. Not a day will go by without doing something related to 31 days of Halloween. It is physically killing me, but we're going to do it.
It definitely. Yeah. I believe it. I definitely believe it. You're going mad. Slowly but surely, you're going mad.
Yeah, I wasn't planning to do the stream. It just so happened that we needed to do it. So
we
I got my ass in gear. And
we were at the folks from Apathetic Enthusiasm. Originally, we were going to do some kind of streaming, but it technically didn't work out. So Dean stepped up, donned the vest, and made it happen.
Good shit, Dean.
Yeah, thank you. I played Sky Hill. This new game that came out on Steam. It's a survival horror RPG. Long story short, you're this guy who stops for a business trip at a hotel, basically just takes his shoes off, gets settled in, and a gigantic bomb goes off in the middle of the city. Not any bomb, though. A dirty bomb. So now everybody is
filthy
zombies. Yeah,
covered in shit.
Yeah, everyone. Yeah,
it's nicknamed Lugo. A dirty, filthy bomb covered in shit.
Well, okay, all right. I mean, I'd play it.
Yeah. I would. He got 3 kids, so somebody did.
Oh God. I don't remember. Okay, all right. I'm gonna get back on the train and get it back on track here. Yeah, so the bomb goes off, everyone's zombies, and it's your choice to either die in this hotel or make it to the bottom floor and get the hell out of there and try to survive in the actual city. Catches, you pick the penthouse to stay in, so you're on floor 100, overlooking the nice desolate view that was the city you were staying in.
Best decision ever.
Yeah, totally. So basically, you start out with 100 health and 50 hunger out of 100. It's turn-based, so every step you make towards another room or another floor minuses 1 health. And you keep going till you get low on health or get low on hunger, and you jump back up to the 100th floor. Where it gets interesting is that there's a bunch of different monsters and enemies in the game that can sort of vary it up a little bit. So when I first started playing the game and I went down to floor 99, it was easy. There was this dumb zombie with 20 health. I smacked him a few times with a kitchen knife and he was gone. And then I went down five more floors and there's this guy with a knife and he started stabbing me. And I started doing a bit more. And then I went down a little bit more, and I was like, this is starting to get hard. And then this big dude with, like an elephant man fist came along and swung it at me, and I died in one hit. And I was like, well, fuck this. So tried it again, died again. Tried it again, died again. Tried it again, died again. This game is frustratingly difficult because it's RNG. It's random number generator. So, you know, if it decides you're going to miss against a really strong dude, you're kind of fucked if you took a chance. And that's what kept happening to me. I like taking chances. Chances don't work in this game. Chances are the fucking enemy. Don't do it. You see that chance card in Monopoly? You burn those fuckers. Take community chests. That's the safe way to go.
He's right.
I kept trying to beat this game. The lowest floor that I got was, I think, 35 before the stream. And I gave myself enough time. I was like, all right, I'll start at 3 o'clock. I'll play till 9. That should be enough time to beat the game. I beat it in one try on the stream. Just didn't even run into trouble. But I did play it really safe. Like, every time I got low on health, the game has this very cool crafting mechanic where you can craft weapons, food, medical accessories, and like some extra stuff that you can craft into weapons. So basically the items that you would need to craft these weapons, you can craft them as well. So long story short, I got to the bottom floor. I had one of the strongest items in the game because I told myself I am not going to die on floor 2, because if that happened, I was going to shut everything off and go the fuck to bed. I don't care what time it was. That would have been the end of everything for the day.
I just imagine it being like 11:45 a.m. and you're just like, you've been only up for like maybe 2 hours, and you're like, you die. And then you're like, nope. And then you're just angrily laying in bed, staring up at the ceiling, till you eventually pass out.
Out of anger.
10 hours later. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Just seething. Seething.
I wouldn't doubt that would happen. The game is really cool, though. Like I said, the crafting mechanics make it a lot of fun. It's a short game. It's like 2 hours. Fun note, though, that there's two separate endings, so you could play the game again to get the secret ending. And when I mean secret ending, it's really, really secret. I was about to walk out the front door and end the game, and then one of the viewers was like, no, don't do that. There's a better ending. You want the better ending, don't you? And I slowly nodded my head, and I was like, yeah, I do want the better ending. And yeah, it was definitely worth it. Actually, I'm not going to spoil the ending, but at the end of the ending, the game actually shuts itself off. Like, it exits itself, and I'm back on the Steam screen. And I was like, whoa, that was deep. That was some fucking crazy shit. So if anyone wants to watch it, check out YouTube, because the entire playthrough's on there. It took me about 2 hours, a little over 2 hours. But anyone should really play it if they got, I think, $10 it was. It's definitely worth the $10 for the probably more than 2 hours I spent playing it. I think I dumped anywhere from 8 to 10 hours into the game. So I got $1 an hour. That's a pretty good rate for most things, I think.
I'm definitely more intrigued.
Yeah, yeah. So I liked it. I really think it's worth for most people to buy. If you don't like survival horror games, it's probably not up your alley. I did use some perks that made it a little bit easier, because there's a perk system at the beginning. There's an active perk that you can use once, and there's a passive perk that's always on, but it's sort of a catch-22 thing. The one I was using was everything you can open in the game, there's going to be an item in it no matter what. But every 10 steps you take, you're going to lose an item. So it got to the point where on one of my playthroughs, I was at the one where I got to the lowest floor, 35. I had everything. I was good to go. I was making my way down. The item that I lost was my weapon. So,
oh, cool. Fantastic.
Yeah, that
who needs that?
Yes. That really fucked me up pretty hard. And then I didn't play till Sunday, and I was hoping to God that wouldn't happen. And it didn't happen, which I was very happy about. So, yeah, check it out. It's a really interesting game, really cool story, and the ending will definitely throw you for a loop if you get the secret ending, or the alternate ending, rather. It's not particularly secret. You could probably figure it out if you pay attention. Yeah, 5 out of 5. We don't do ratings in the show, but 5 out of 5.
Five out of five what?
Grapes.
wait, purple or green?
Purple's pimp.
My nigga. That's what's up. Purple grapes are delicious.
Yeah. So,
you know, you're absolutely right. Green grapes just don't do it for me.
Nah, like, I can't do it.
Purple ones are where it's at.
That's what's up, man. Mace Windu's lightsaber, purple. Delicious.
Yeah, and that dude was legit as fuck.
Come on, man. It's perfect.
All right. Well, we're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna talk about a couple of things that have been happening in the world of retro games, and hopefully it's not boring, so stick around. And now here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com. First up, Time and Relative Dimension in Spoilers, that's TARDIS for those not in the know, wrapped up its second two-parter of the season this week. The Doctor broke the fourth wall to talk to us about the Bootstrap Paradox, a gigantic alien proved his real motivations were that he was pretty much just a dick, and the Sonic Sunglasses made their return. If all of that sounds like gibberish to you, don't read the new episode of TARDIS in the Think Tank. If you did understand any or all of those words, enjoy our weekly Doctor Who recap, series by my wife, Karen Randazzo.
Next, The Walking Dead is back, and so is The Walking Dead Fantasy Draft from Apathetic Enthusiasm's Brandon and Travis. They've each picked a team, and every week they will be ignoring any emotional drama intended by the showrunners in favor of awarding points for breaking and entering, driving cars, killing walkers, dying without turning, and more. It's fun for the whole family. Don't miss The Walking Dead Fantasy League on the Geekade YouTube page.
Then, what would the world look like if we had all survived the zombie apocalypse? Max Brooks answers that in his book, World War Z, and Samantha Ahern took the time to write about it for Geekade's 31 Days of Halloween. Does the book live up to the hype? Was the movie worth your time? Find out in 31 Days of Halloween, World War Z, in the Think Tank.
Finally, every Saturday this month, Narrow Bridge Films is hitting us with the Geekade premieres of their horror movies. Last week, we saw their feature-length horror dramedy, Blaming George Romero, featuring Comic Book Fans United Sam Platt.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Sam Platt. Sam the P-Man. A group of friends have become so fed up.
Fuck you, Sam Platinsky. Keep it going!
A group of friends have become so fed up with their lives that they actually wish for the zombie apocalypse just to liven things up. But when it seems a real one has broken out, did they get more than they bargained for? Grab your popcorn and watch Blaming George Romero right here on Geekade. Because you can, and we ask nicely. Or, well, Chris did. I'm demanding you do. I demand your fealty.
That's right. Fuck you, Sam Platinsky.
You can catch all this great stuff, plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at Geekade.com. And we are back. Over the break, we had a rousing discussion of how much gold people have.
Mm-hmm. Of the Sam Platinsky variety.
Of the Sam Platinsky variety.
Yeah, Narrow Bridge Films. Yeah.
Yes, Narrow Bridge Films.
We get it, Sam.
Their massive war chest. Anyways, so there were a handful of news stories, and we usually don't talk about much of that stuff here on Geekade, but I figured we're gonna go ahead and give this a shot, see how it whirls. And what a better time to give it a shot than when we don't have one of our regular cast members on the show. I have thought this out extraordinarily well. So first up, one of the things that caught my eye this week was that the Nintendo PlayStation is going to be at the Retro HK convention in Hong Kong. And it's they're basically going to be looking at it to see if it works, what's inside of it, if anything plays on it. Have you guys heard anything about this story? Anything
about
this?
I saw when it came out, and this is like a fabled system, and you know, it actually got dug up and someone found one, which is impressive. But yeah, I'm interested to see if it plays something. I mean, Chris, do you want to explain what it is just for maybe people who don't know?
I mean, basically...
Me.
Yeah.
Please help me.
Sorry, so way back when, Sega CD was a thing, and Nintendo had partnered with Sony to create a CD-based add-on for their Super Nintendo, and it was called the PlayStation. And obviously, shit went south, and Sony went off and did their own thing and made the Sony PlayStation and made all of the dollars, and the rest is history. So about a month or so ago, some guy shows up on the internets and says somebody that he was related to had found one of... He took one of these prototypes home, an actual prototype of the Nintendo PlayStation, and it's fascinating. You can look up pictures of it online. It's, you know, the controller is a Super Nintendo controller that says Sony PlayStation on it, and it's it is a thing. Now, he didn't have the power supply for it, so he wasn't able to check and see if it worked. There was all this, like, looking into it. People thought it might have been a hoax, but really, it seems fairly legit. Now, this guy went quiet for a good long while, and I was under the impression that hopefully, like, one of the guys at like Retro USB had gotten their hands on it. Retro USB is this site that I get those. I've mentioned them on the show before, where I get the they make these incredible reproduction cartridges of like the competition games and stuff, like Power Fest 94. Like when those prototypes get found, these guys do an excellent job of kind of figuring out the tech behind them and reverse engineering them and seeing if they work. Now, this is just happened this week, I believe, was that they announced that this is the first time we've heard anything from this since it came out, that they've had found one of these things, that they're going to be bringing it to this crazy game expo in Hong Kong, of all places, which I've never heard of this expo before. It's apparently like a 2 week long summit type thing. It's not even, it's like longer than E3 even. And it's all just based on retro games. So they're going to be bringing this there, and we're going to get our first actual taste of what a Nintendo PlayStation could have been. At this event, hopefully, if they can even get it to turn on, because really, we don't even know that yet. So, I don't know. What do you guys think? Like, do you think this is something that's gonna is it gonna happen? Is it real? Are we gonna see games for it? Like, what do you think?
Oh man, I mean, that'd be cool if we could see games for it somehow, some way. But that's a long shot. No.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what else was found with this thing, really. I mean, I think it was found in an attic or something. There might be some kind of prototype, you know, ROM-type games in there. Like, there had to have been something functioning enough for it to have gotten to the prototype stage. Because there's, like, it's a shell. It's a thing. It's full of electronics. It's freaking fascinating. I don't know. What do you even think... What even games could have existed for that thing? Like, have you ever played a Sega CD? I mean, Carlos, have you ever played a Sega CD?
Yes. Yes, I have.
Those things are terrible.
They're not. It was not a good time.
It was not a good time. I know it's got its fans, but, man, the Sega CD was just like, it was like a cracked out Genesis, except it didn't have that horrible screeching noise that the 32X made. But it had a lot of loading time and some really crappy like CG sequences and games like Sewer Shark. I can only imagine what kind of weird stuff would theoretically be in the works for the Nintendo PlayStation.
I just pulled up an image, I guess, of the system itself, and that is kind of blowing my mind right now because it has the Super. It looks like the Super Nintendo controller, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
And. Oh, that's really, really weird. I honestly, I got nothing. I have no fucking clue what could be on this thing.
Yeah, that's. I would think maybe there is some sort of a demo program built into it. I would hope, and they never got far enough to. If there that's, are cartridges,
there is totally a cartridge that was found with it. That's right. Because I'm looking at this picture, There's it looks like a Super Famicom cart. It doesn't have like it's just got a couple of numbers, and it looks like some Japanese like some kanji written on it. Not it has, much.
Is that the aux inputs in the front? Like for the TV, I can't really tell here in this picture that I have.
The front looks like let's see. The front is your controller ports 1 and 2, a mm-hmm. Sony disk drive, a power switch, a headphone input. With its own volume next to it, and then on the back—that's
interesting.
Yeah, that's kind of sexy. Let's see, where's the picture of the back? There we go. The back's got—I'm waiting for it to load up a higher resolution. All right, so now this is fascinating. This is actually really interesting because this has the same kind of AV outs that the original PlayStation had, with that like kind of extra sound port in between the.
Yeah.
Man, it's got an S video out. A little port that says next on it. I don't know what the hell that means.
Well, I mean, this is a prototype, so, you know, some of the stuff does get nicked.
Yeah, it's got the traditional Nintendo multi-out. So that's something. And then you've got your DC 7.6 volts in. That doesn't look like any standard Nintendo DC input, but looks like it loads... Okay, so it's got the CD loader from the front... And the cartridges kind of go in the back. God, this thing is just so funky looking. Like, it's all Sony branded and PlayStation branded. Like, that is the PlayStation brand. That's a Super Nintendo controller and a Super Famicom cartridge sitting right into it. Boy, that's strange. I think the guy, they said that the guy worked for Sony or something. And he worked in some kind of department where he was able to take weird crap like this home with him. And I'm just fascinated. I've always been interested in this thing ever since I read about, you know, it coming out way back in the day. Like, oh, the Super Nintendo CD is going to be a thing, and it's going to beat the crap out of the Sega CD, because I was a huge, ludicrous Nintendo fanboy back in the day. But having this thing actually physically show up, like, for real, blew my mind. Like, looking at that controller, that Super Nintendo controller that's a Sony PlayStation on it, like, melts my brain.
Yeah, that's really fucking with me right now.
So yeah, shit. I cannot wait till that happens. I don't know when Retro HK is happening. I bet the internet knows because the internet knows all.
I'm kind of confused. Why? I mean, what did the AC port look like on this thing? Because I would have to think that someone could have made something if they just had the right voltage.
Well, I think that's the part where the guy was getting kind of nervous, because if you like. This is a prototype. Let's say you do plug in the wrong voltage in this thing, like without, because the guy that found it isn't really much of a gamer, so I think that's probably why this didn't show up faster. Because if somebody who is like a crazy gamer, like say I found this thing, I would have contacted Joe Santulli, the proprietor of the video game museum in Texas, and the folks at Retro USB immediately, and been like. I will bring this to you, hand deliver it if I have to. Let's open this thing up and find out everything we can and see if there's anything to it. Like let's just get to work. And clearly this guy must not be interested in trying to make a crap load of money, because there are collectors out there that would spend all of the dollars to get this. I mean, like, what is it? The one of the few remaining PowerFest 94 things went for like a couple grand. And that was just a cartridge for the Super Nintendo. This thing, this Sony PlayStation of a Super Nintendo's, there's no way this thing is going for less than like 30K, because that's what Nintendo World Championship carts go for these days. And this is a way crazier find than that. So, I mean, this guy could definitely sell it to a private collector. I'm glad he isn't. I'm just curious what's going to happen with this whole bring it to this convention. And seeing what happens, like I'm fascinated to know what's going to happen with this.
I hope it turns into a robot.
it's going to be a fucking transformer. It's going to get up and actually murder everybody.
That's best case scenario.
All right, anybody, any last thoughts on that one, on the Nintendo PlayStation? What do we think is going to happen? Are we going to get? Is something going to work? Are they going to get to turn it on, or is it just going to piss itself and die?
I'm leaning towards might piss itself and die.
Yeah, I mean, it's an old system, and I'm assuming the guy didn't open it up. So it could be pretty dirty on the inside and stuff. It might not work. But I think if it falls into the right hands, someone could refurbish it and maybe get it back into working condition. I don't think it's going to be that guy, though.
No, no, he's not. He's not going to do it. But I'm going to go ahead and choose to believe here that somebody is going to. Folks are going to be at this gaming convention now that they now that everyone knows that this is where this thing is going to be publicly for the first time. Somebody's going to reverse engineer this thing. Somebody's going to get all the belts working and see what it plays. Like, how crazy would it be if this thing played like Super Famicom cartridges and PlayStation discs? Like, is the encoding for this PlayStation similar enough to what actually was released as the PlayStation so that it could even read those discs? Like, who knows? I'm freaking fascinated. Anyways, move on to the next story that excited me to no end. First four figures. Who's familiar with these guys?
I am not.
You are not? Okay. Dean, you have been to my house in the past, and you have seen my Legend of Zelda statue of Link on the horse, correct?
I have.
First four figures is the people that made that.
I would like to give them my money.
I would like to give them my money, too. They've made some gorgeous statues of video game characters. A lot of, like, particularly Nintendo and Sega stuff. I have the Link from Twilight Princess. This is one of the most irresponsible purchases I've ever made in my life. And my wife was extraordinarily gracious to say that, you know, if it'll make you happy, then go for it. It is just stunning. It's Twilight Princess, Link, on the back of Epona, just like he is in the artwork for the game. It's gorgeous, crazy detailed. I also have a Samus Aran statue, also from First Four Figures. Again, crazy detailed. It's from Metroid Prime. Phenomenal look, like chrome painting. Like, these are on par, if not better, than Kotobukiya and or Bowen statues. Like, these are legit statues, and they're stupid expensive, but well worth it. They officially unveiled a little while ago, but they officially unveiled and have started taking pre-orders on the Simon Belmont statue from Castlevania, which looks incredible. This is like retro Castlevania 1 Simon Belmont. So if you're unfamiliar with that character, he's in like this almost like a leather gimp outfit. No pants on. But Jesus, this thing looks incredible.
Pulled it up.
Oh, I see that sexiness. He is straight out of the 80s, like like heavy metal status.
Looks like Dolph Lundgren.
Yes, it does.
Oh man, that's sexy.
That is a the position from God, look at those thighs.
I want to touch him.
Yeah, this guy is definitely just pop your head right off.
This dude is thick. Like, those are Chun-Li thighs right there. That is impressive. So this is mimicking some artwork from Castlevania 1, which is what this is all based on. And I am just enthralled with it. It looks like it's got interchangeable whips, too. Because, like, I'm seeing a couple different pictures with a couple of different whips, which is awesome.
It's got the cross. That's awesome.
Yeah, this is like these guys go all out with their statues. Like they're just absolutely insane, and I'm so happy to see Simon Belmont, which means that they were able to license this character from Konami, who is clearly not interested in video games anymore for whatever reason. So I'm friggin' thrilled about this statue. This isn't their first Castlevania statue though. I've totally forgot about that. They did a from Lords of Shadow, Dracula, or Gabriel Belmont, whatever. I didn't really pay a lot of attention to Lords of Shadow, because I'm a retro Castlevania fan myself. So, yeah, this thing looks incredible. Obviously, you guys feel similar about it.
I would like to give them my money, right? I would like to take off my pants and just have at it.
And then just play some Warcraft.
Yeah.
I just pulled up firstfourfigures.com and I'm looking at the work they have on here, and these gentlemen are just definitely asking for me to throw my money at them.
Yeah, they're believe me, if I had infinite funds, these guys would have a lot of them. So I'm sure you can see on the site if you look up the Twilight Princess link, that is the statue that I have. I'm looking at it right now. It was one of the best purchases I've ever made. It's gorgeous. I friggin' love that statue. It is tall too.
That's like way too sexy.
It's awesome. And then if you go down to the Metroid stuff, it is the Metroid Samus Varius suit. That's the statue that I have of Samus. Absolutely insane.
And like, the Sonic stuff, man. Dr. Robotnik. Jesus.
I know. I can't believe they made a Dr. Robotnik statue.
Oh, my God.
Wait, not Eggman?
I mean,
no, they call it Dr. Robotnik because it is Sonic, like, classic Sonic Dr. Robotnik.
Oh, that makes me so happy because fuck Eggman.
Dr. Robotnik all day.
Look at the picture of it. If just look it up. He's holding two Chaos Emeralds. It is 100% classic Dr. Robotnik from Sonic 1.
I want that inside of me.
I cannot imagine a world where I would want to spend the amount of money it would take to get a Dr. Robotnik statue.
Yeah.
He's $400.
Jesus. Is that even in the, is that like American? Is that like the Blooms? What is that?
It's gold. It's Jewish gold.
Oh, Jewish gold. All right, that's fair. I'll let Sam give me an IOU. Oh, that's sexy, man. I want that.
The Mega Man was also really high on my list. Their Mega Man statue is, God, that thing is gorgeous.
Oh, my God. God, why did you show this to me?
If they made a pit from Kid Icarus, I would be screwed.
Oh, man. Like,
I would just be in trouble.
Yeah, this is very sexy. I'm going to have to show, because Fredo and Kevin from Between Two Beards are huge Mega Man fans and huge Sonic fans. So I'm going to have to show them this and let them suffer with me.
Oh, yeah. I mean, because they've also got the X statue. The X one looks just ridiculous as well.
Oh, my God.
They've got, like, special edition ones where they glow and whatnot. Like, Wolf Link and Midna from Twilight Princess, there's a special edition where Midna's hair glows like it does in the game. Just disturbingly incredible.
That's awesome. I would like Dr. Robotnik, though, from the Sonic cartoon. I want that Dr. Robotnik.
Ew.
That repulsive blob Dr. God. Robotnik.
Oh, that's vile.
That thing, that creature is... What was up with that thing's eyes? Like,
I don't know, man.
It just had black eyes with, like, red pupils for some reason. Like,
because he had no... Actually, I think they wanted to give off the idea that he was a robot of some sort, maybe. That's the only thing I could guess. Or he had no soul. I'm going to go with no soul.
Zero soul, or he should have, what is it, the chivy robot cleaning his floor because he's sleeping on the couch now? Because he's having marital problems and his daughter hates him and she thinks she's a fucking frog? I don't know.
Lulz. All right, so I was actually kind of hoping that we would have Mike on the show to talk about the Simon Belmont statue because Mike's a huge Castlevania fan, but... Good God, that thing is gorgeous.
Actually, I have something real quick to talk about that I just found in my travels. I was on Kotaku, and did you know there's a Smash Bros. Card game coming out or is out already? Oh, no, it's fan-made. That's what it is. Okay, yeah. BattleCon is what they call it, and it looks absolutely bananas, and it uses the Amiibos.
Really?
Yeah. Damn. Yeah, interesting card game. Give it a look on... Kotaku just got posted. Not that I like plugging Kotaku for any specific reason.
I was
going
to say, do I have to go to Kotaku?
I don't know if you're going to find it anywhere else. Try looking up BattleCon, maybe. But yeah, definitely cool if you have an abundance of Amiibo figures. Something cool to do. I mean, I like Amiibos, and finding different ways to use them besides just plopping them onto my my gamepad or my 3DS is pretty neat to me. So yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I have so I had got that Chibi Robo Amiibo, and then right before it, I wound up picking up the Shulk and Marth Amiibo, and so I've created a monstrosity of a display of my different Amiibo characters, and I'm waiting on a friend of mine picked up the Retro 3 pack. So that I can have Amiibo Inception, where I'll have an actual Rob the Robot holding a toy of Rob the Robot. So I will have a toy holding a toy of itself. Which
it's going to blow your kid's mind.
It's going to be incredible. Yeah. And it's got the Duck Hunt dog in there. And I also have a Captain Olimar from Pikmin on the way. and a Yarn Yoshi amiibo, which is just, that kind of breaks my rule. See, I gave myself a rule for buying amiibo. I can only buy one character per franchise. So, like, I bought Mario, which means I can't buy Toad, Princess, Bowser, Wario, none of that. I bought Mario.
Oh my god, that's why would you do that to yourself?
Because if I didn't, then I would have them all. So yeah, I bought Link. And
I'm really psyched that like I haven't fallen into that amiibo sickness, because I have that Funko Pop sickness.
Oh,
where
no.
I just can't, not compared to like somebody like Sam or Topher, who Sam just throws that fucking gold at just Funko. And Topher's got a sickness, man. Topher doesn't go a week without buying like a pop or two. And he's just like, oh, I'm just going to buy the Bioshock pop. But then he gets like the Songbird and then an unrelated horror theme pop. And he's like, oh, word, I guess I'm just not going to eat for the rest of the week.
Well, I mean, you know, little vinyl figures or food. I'd probably go with the vinyl figures.
Oh, yeah, man. Today I ordered Sting and Ric Flair. That's right. I don't give a fuck. Pops come to me.
And now you can have your favorite WCW battles in pop form.
You damn right I am. You damn right. Until they make an amiibo for Mike Awesome and Canyon, I'm going to have to settle for Sting and Ric Flair.
Yeah, I'm not too sure that's ever going to happen, but
no, it is
good
not.
Luck.
Rest in peace, both of them. They're both dead.
Well, I will say that this Simon Belmont statue gives me the hope that maybe someday in some crazy world, Simon Belmont will join Smash Brothers. Because he would be so freaking perfect for it. And then if Simon Belmont joins Smash Brothers, then there will be a Simon Belmont amiibo. And I can pretty much be done with life, because the only other amiibo coming out that I'm interested in is the Ryu from Street Fighter 1. Because that's amazing. And if they did one for Simon Belmont, I'd be in. Because, like, alright, so I've run down the list of all the amiibo that I have, and everything that even could come out. If they would make ones of other characters, I was trying to think, like, alright, what other characters could they even possibly make amiibo for that I would want to buy? And I'm thinking, like, Simon Belmont, I would buy a Bomberman amiibo.
Hell yeah.
Because that would be awesome. If they made one for Bonk, like, that would be cool. I would totally buy a Bonk amiibo. It's never going to happen, like, in a billion years. Solid Snake, I'd have to buy that, because I love me some Metal Gear. You know, basically any main character representing a major franchise that's linked to retro games in some way, shape, or form, I would be interested in buying. But unfortunately, like, all that stuff's third party. I have a Mega Man amiibo, I have a Pac-Man amiibo, and I have a Sonic amiibo. Like, those are things that I probably didn't think was going to happen, and yet they did. So, and I'm going to get a Ryu from Street Fighter amiibo. So I'm going to have a little figure to represent Street Fighter. Because right now my display, which is absurd, has the actual games behind them. So, like, my Captain Falcon has my boxed copy of F-Zero for Super Nintendo. You know, my Sonic has a boxed copy of Sonic Genesis for Game Boy Advance, because it's shaped the right way. You know, my Earthbound, my NES has Earthbound. Pit, I used Kid Icarus of Mist and Monsters, because that's, like, the coolest box art. And then I just added this extra third row to it, for like Wii Fit Trainer, I put Wii Fit behind it. Chibi-Robo, put the original Chibi-Robo. Xenoblade Chronicles for Shulk. Splatoon for my Splatoon Inkling. And because I got a sickness, but I limited myself, so I didn't go too crazy overboard with the amiibo.
I respect it. I definitely respect it.
It's been hard.
Have you seen the Street Fighter pops that are coming soon?
I have.
Oh!
Is there a Guile one? Because that's all I want.
I'm
pretty sure there is. I can picture him. See, bro, here's the thing. I was able to pass up the Ninja Turtle pops, which means I am now invincible.
That's I respect that. I'm going to be honest with you. I respect that.
I am a ludicrous Ninja Turtles fan. I friggin' love the Ninja Turtles. I love them to death. And when I saw those show up in the comic book store, I was like, oh my god, this is going to be a problem. Like, I need to have these things. I've never bought a pop before, and I looked at them, and I kept, like, you know, scratching my arms and stuff like a heroin addict. No, not gonna do it. And I didn't. I passed on those, and I won that battle. Nintendo released two other characters from Kid Icarus. There are three Kid Icarus themed amiibo out there, and I only bought Pit. The fact that there is a Palutena figure in existence shouldn't even be real. I can't believe I live in a world where that's a thing. But I passed on it, because if I didn't pass on it, then I would also have to buy Dark Pit, which meant that then I would be justified in buying Zelda and Ganondorf. And if I had those two, then I may as well buy Sheik. And if I bought Sheik, well, then I should probably get Diddy Kong and Luigi and Meta Knight and King DDD, and then the list would just go on and on and on. So I had to stop.
It really is a sickness.
It is a sickness.
It's definitely a sickness.
I have one amiibo. It's Jigglypuff.
Boom.
That's it. It sits on my desk as a reminder that I will never go out of my way to buy a fucking amiibo. I went to Target, I looked at the wall, and there was just a wall of Jigglypuffs. There was nothing else. And I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't care.
Didn't I get you a Mega Man amiibo?
Well, yeah, but that's not even open, dude. That's special.
Aww.
That stays in the box. That's not... Like, Jigglypuff is out and ready to go whenever I want to use it. Mega Man is sealed in box up on my, like, next to my Mario 25th anniversary box.
I'm psyched that you treated Jigglypuff like a common street whore. You're just like...
That's what she is.
Unboxed. You stay there, whore. Just randomly just spit on her. You know, she didn't even care.
She whimpers at me at night, and I tell her to shut up or she goes back in the hole.
Please, Dean. No, Dean. Please. Shut up, whore. Yeah, I like that, though. Jigglypuff, no. Yeah, I like that. I definitely respect everything that's happening right now.
Oh, Jesus. God, you've never actually seen my collection, have you, Carlos?
No, sir, I have not.
It's impressive.
I want to.
It's my life's work. I think I've told the story on the show before, but I'll give you the brief version. When I was moving down here to South Jersey, I contacted my friend Sean. I was like, Sean, I need help moving my video game collection. He's like, all right, cool. So I pull up in front of his house, and he's like, Chris, this is a box truck. What else are we moving? I said, we're moving my video game collection, Sean. He said, I don't think you understand how big this is on the inside. What else are we moving? We filled that box truck with my video game collection. It is now taking up most of my parents' garage because I don't have room for the bulk of it here in my house.
Dude, I need to see it. That's the closest I'll probably ever get to like a video game museum. I need to just go in there and find any copy I can of like, WrestleMania 2000 or WWF No Mercy for N64 and just hold it. Close to my heart.
Just hold it and love it. Yeah, I don't know what my current situation with wrestling N64 games is. That is an excellent question.
I mean, I remember when you came over for the charity stream that I did, and you bought three solid boxes of video games.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what the fuck to play anymore. Like, I was like, there's too many choices.
I brought my CDI in those shitty Zelda games.
Oh, that was something. That was a treat. I loved every moment of that, especially when we played them, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning, and we were all like, this is madness. What are we doing?
I actually don't have any of those wrestling games for the N64.
You have disappointed me greatly this day.
I have disappointed myself. I have to get on those because, like, I've never been a huge wrestling fan. But all right, here's my wrestling situation. I have ECW Hardcore Revolution for PlayStation.
Oh God!
WWF King of the Ring for NES.
Okay.
Rage in the Cage for Sega CD.
Oh,
Raw
God.
For 32X. Raw for Super Nintendo. Royal Rumble for Dreamcast, Genesis, and Super Nintendo. WrestleMania Steel Cage Challenge for NES.
Oh my God!
The arcade game for 32X, which
banger.
Was amazing.
Banger.
With the digitized graphics and Mortal Kombat style blood.
Come on.
Oh, hell
yes.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And WWF Warzone for PlayStation. That is my officially licensed wrestling collection.
Oh, man. You're missing some clutch WCW bangers. And,
oh, no, that's not true. I haven't cataloged them yet, but I just got WCW NWO Revenge, I think. WCW NWO versus the World or something. I got one or both of those for N64, just haven't cataloged them yet. But the most important thing is that I have pro wrestling for NES, which was the shit.
Starman forever. There's actually a wrestling promotion down near, where do I usually run out of? They run out of... Rahway Rec Center.
Yeah, Dan was telling me about them. Dude, dress up as Starman.
Yeah,
that's
Starman.
The star kick and everything.
Yeah, Pro Wrestling Syndicate, man. They have really good shows, and they have Starman.
That's awesome.
And it's awesome.
All right, last story we're going to touch on real quick. Some dude left his Super Nintendo on for 20 years to preserve his game saves.
Oh my God, I believe that 1,000%. No, I believe that 1,000%. I do. It's, I do.
Some Japanese dude was playing a game called Umihara Kawase. And now this had this is one of those old Super NES cartridges, so it had a battery backup save, which there's always a chance that that battery will die and you'll lose your save data. So in order to prevent that from happening, he has never turned his game off. So he has had a Super Nintendo running consistently for about 20 years so that he will not lose his game save, his game data. Apparently he did turn it off once when he had to move, so he unplugged the Super Nintendo, but the battery course held, because why wouldn't it, after being on for that long a time? It's never really needed to be used. And then he turned it back on and has left it on ever since.
So he's insane.
Yeah, clearly he is a lunatic. So let's get your thoughts. How do you feel about this level of commitment?
I feel like he needs to be in a psychiatric ward, because batteries are meant to be used sometimes. And that's like a, and the system still works. Like I'm speechless.
I mean, it's just been sitting idle on running for 20 years.
You know what? Props, Nintendo. You make a really solid system. That's I could say that, because I tell you what, you can't leave a PlayStation on for 20 years.
Yeah, that's really blown my mind. But I'm gonna be honest with you. One of the darkest days of my life, I fucking remember this shit. I was like maybe four or five, and I think I had left my NES on, and I believe I was playing Zelda, and it was on. I left it on, and I don't remember the save game capabilities for Zelda.
It had a lithium battery backup. And every time you went to quit your game, it told you to hold reset and then turn off the power in order to help prevent the battery from getting fried and erasing your save data.
Okay, yeah. Well, I remember I'd left it on, and I remember I knocked out for a few, and when I woke up, I remember my mom had turned it off, and I did not save anything. I did not save shit, and I was fucking crushed. I think I was the first time, like, if I knew which words to use, say, fuck you, mom, I probably would have. But yeah, dude, I was like 4 or 5 years old, and that shit, I'm fucking 29 now, and that memory has stuck with me. I never forgot.
Same exact boat, almost. I remembered, all right, so I was working on Zelda 2. All right, Zelda 2 is freaking difficult. That game is stupid hard. I had made it to the second to last palace in the game, and I was working real hard on it. And I finished the game. I had, killed myself, lost all my lives, so that I could then hit save, hold reset, turn off the power. Turn it on the following morning, all the save data was gone.
Jesus.
It was just gone, and I was devastated. I had nightmares the following night. My mom and dad took away the Nintendo from me. They were like, You need a break from this, because this is a problem. Like, I couldn't sleep at night. I was destroyed because I had come so far, and that game was so hard. And I was, Zelda has always been my favorite game franchise. I've always been like just ridiculously into it. I have all of them, even the shitty CDI games, even the LCD Game & Watch. I have them all. I was so destroyed when I lost my save data. That was the thing that could happen back then, you know?
Yeah, like, man, it was darkness.
It's absolute darkness. Yeah. It was the darkest of days, because you'd turn it on and then all of a sudden all your hard work is just gone.
Gone. Shit. Down the toilet. I mean, in reality, is there a bigger banger than A Link to the Past? And not many games are better than that, man. And you, when you think about either for Zelda games for NES or Super Nintendo, man, those games take fucking time. It's not just 2 or 3 hours. It takes a while for my fucking inconsiderate mother to just come in and shit in my fucking cereal. Take a big old dump of my fucking breakfast. That's what she did. That's what she did. I'm going to call her after this. I'm going to give her a goddamn piece of my mind.
You sure you're gonna do that?
Probably not. My mom is a very scary, tiny Puerto Rican woman.
I mean, I support the decision not to, you know, for your own safety.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
All right. Any final thoughts?
Yeah. I'm going to go to Japan and like, stare at him and then slowly put my finger down the power off button while laughing maniacally.
Oh, man. I back that 1,000%. Fuck that guy. Have my mom do it. That guy ain't doing shit to my mom. My mom will knock the fuck out of that dude with like a fucking with a sandal. One of those old sandals you buy on like Bergenline.
We're gonna start a Kickstarter campaign. We're gonna raise money to buy Carlos's mom a plane ticket to Japan to track this guy down, go into his house, turn off his Super Nintendo.
She has to scream at him like in Spanish though, while hitting him with the sandal.
Yeah, just Carlito! Carlito, libre cuento, cierra la puerta, coño! And then she's just gonna hit him with a sandal, and then he's gonna clean his room. Just fucking fighting back those tears, man. Fighting back those. You don't want to let her see you cry. So he's just fucking. Just fucking holding him back, man. Fuck that guy.
Yes.
Well, we're not going to top that, so that's our show. Once again, you can get in touch with us at mail@geekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram @Geekade. Subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for our latest video content, and follow us at Twitter @the_Geekade. You can find us all individually on Twitter. I am @GeekadeChris. That's Geekade, K-R-I-S. Dean is available at
Kimono_VestLord.
Dan, who's not here, is available at Geekade Dan. And Carlos, are you on Twitter?
I don't know how to the Twitters. I don't really.
Excellent.
I don't tweet. So, but you can find me on Instagram. I got TigerDriver91 on Instagram.
There you go. It's just @TigerDriver91.
Yep.
Glorious. If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed tonight, be sure to check out the show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes, or if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com, where we post something new every freaking day.
Every day!
Thank you, Carlos, so much for joining us. Hopefully Dan will be back next week. And we'll see everybody here again in 1 week. Thanks for listening, and on behalf of myself, Carlos, and Dean, keep playing games.
So, what do you want, cat? Leave me alone, cat! Oh, goddamn, this fucking cat.
I'm sorry.
No, I mean, she's all right. She's just kind of a dick. Such a fucking fat cat. I fed this cat half an hour ago. The fuck is wrong with you? You want to look like John Goodman? Jesus fucking Christ. Have you seen Roseanne? You're going to die, cat. This happens every day. Every day.
Same speech.
Cat.
Every day.
You get a goddamn shouting match.
Is the cat shouting back?
I mean,
I'm gonna throw up.
No, she just looks at me very disapprovingly.
That's all my cat does all fucking
she's,
day.
Yeah, she's a big fan of Argo. I saw Argo too, cat. It's good, but you're still overweight. Every fucking time.